Board Chair, I'm going to go ahead and call the meeting to order for August 9th, 2023 at 8:00 a.m. Heather, can you go ahead, please, and do a roll call?
Yes, Dr. Kimball?
Here.
Everyone else has left the call.
Dr. Yolanda? Dr. Yolanda, are you still on the call? Dr. Yolanda, are you on the call? Dr. Yolanda?
Welcome to Google Meet. Enter the meeting pin followed by the pound key. Thank you. You're joining the call with one other person.
Dr. Yolanda, are you on the call?
Good morning. I'm on my call, Jeff, sorry.
Okay, no problem. So we have Dr. Kimball, Dr. Yolanda, Dr. Foreman?
Aye.
Here.
Thank you. Alrighty. So we're going to go ahead, does anyone have any declaration of conflict of interest of any agenda item? Alright, hearing none, we're going to go ahead and move to five to our items for review, discussion, and possible actions under subheading A, investigation files. We're going to go ahead and start with case 23-03-Z, Pam Saraf, DPM. Dr. Saunders is our investigator, and the doctor is present as well as his counsel, Mr. Crawford. So gentlemen, if you would like to have a seat, and we'll start with, and Dr. Saunders is ready with his investigation report, and we do not have a complaint attending.
Yeah, I was actually unable to get in contact with the complainant as well, so I do have the written response, and we'll just proceed from there. Complaint number 23-03C is in Charlie. This is a complaint in LW, and there seems to be complaints surrounding a post-op complication for failed bunion surgery. The patient had some complications initially, then that they apparently per her were not addressed appropriately. And that's about all we got from that. So I went through the charts. Dr. Saraf did summarize his treatment for the patient. Conservative therapy was tried. Surgical intervention for bunion deformity turns out to be bilaterally. Surgery itself was uneventful. The patient was happy and proceeded to have the other contralateral foot done just about 2 months afterwards. Doctor did admit that the patient had some drifting of the hallux. It was treated conservatively for over 6 months. Patient had some ongoing ankle problems that would happen before the bunion surgery and then were continuing afterwards. So the patient opted down the road to have correction of the complication as well as some other procedures done as well, including some Taylor's bunion actually and contralateral surgery. Patient did have some follow-up, seemed to be happy, was returning to yoga and activity. Doctor then describes that the patient did complain later and was lost to follow-up. Going through the initial records, patient LW was seen in the office, as I mentioned, for ankle pain, had some MRIs done, conservative therapy was established, performed physical therapy injections, bracing. Down the road after that, the patient did have some important consents for bunion surgery. It's documented alternative methods of care, conservative therapies were discussed. Patient had failed some conservative methods for the bunion surgery. Surgery was on March 5th of 2019. Chevron bunionectomy performed, documented no complications. Patient was followed up post-operatively, weekly. Even the bootstrapping, some normal post-operative care was performed going through. It does note there, just I think it was like 2 weeks after, that the patient had already tried to start walking on it without the boot. and was having some problems, but that was a little bit premature for doctor's notes. X-rays initially are documented showing rectus MP joint postoperatively. Maintained tip sesamoid, good range of motion. Luna boots, cam walkers were recommended and placed at that time. Patient was proceeding well. A month or so later, more X-rays were taken, documented in good position. And that continues kind of on a weekly basis. There was a communication maybe 6 to 7 weeks after that the patient wanted to have surgery on the contralateral foot by the end of the May. And she scheduled the next day for, you know, a pre-op discussion on that. No real documentation or no real complaints that the patient was complaining about complications to that left foot. Going to this point, the right foot had a bunionectomy done. This is about 2 months after the initial left foot surgery. Post-op documentation court, uneventful. Typical conservative therapies are documented at this point. Approximately 2-3 weeks after the second surgery on the contralateral ring, then the patient starts complaining about their initial left foot. Complaining about the left spacing. Examination does show that there is some gapping of the left foot, first in the inner metatarsal.
And then conservative therapy would address that.
Document the chart.
The shoeing recommendation that X-rays were taken as we continue to go down the course. Documenting to find that there is a
for bilaterally had some that were done. Continue. I think it was some time then before the actual surgery did get taken, was performed. X-rays are now really documenting the hallux varus as the patient continues. Discussion was made as it continues for Taylor's bunion as well. Doctor and patient discussed multiple options and ways to fix the hallux varus. Discussion was made for more aggressive arthrodesis as standard care or tightrope. And the patient opted for more of the conservative tightrope type of procedure to fix the hallux varus. Surgery was performed. Patient was getting back to activities and yoga. And it seemed to be relatively uneventful, and patient was lost to follow-up going forward after that. I go through the chart, and there are things that were... documented that the patient had the right foot done.
Looking at some of the documentation, there's been consistency noted that the current timing, the multiple dates that are signed on 4-6 and 4-3, obviously the number done in 2019. Five of them or so,
I guess, finalized. And that occurred with some of the X-ray reports as well done in the charting. There were multiple ones from 2019 that were signed 2021. I don't know if that's an EMR glitch or what, but that's slightly unusual timing for some of those to be finalized. Going through some of the financials, this, I counted the six injuries Those are both simultaneously the injection therapies that we talked about, 20550 and 20606, for an ankle joint ATF type of injection. And it's documented that it was going through with an ultrasound technique. I did not find any mention in the charting that an ultrasound was used. There were no images provided, but it was billed for ultrasound-guided type of injection. It was unclear whether or not two actual injections were performed in this. They were separate injections, trigger point injection into the ankle joint. I typically do these with one injection. There were two CAM boots that were dispensed around the surgery, one in January, one in April of 2019. It's not completely unreasonable, it's just not documented as to why. And then orthotics were billed 2018 and 2019, but there's no documentation for 2019 that they were actually casted or dispensed. So there were a couple different things there in the financials to look at. In summary, it seems that the main complaint centered around really a postoperative complication. The patient feels it was kind of unaddressed. I'm interpreting that the patient feels that they had the complication initially, and it wasn't addressed initially. I think that there is documentation that the patient did, that doctor did recognize that there was a complication. The doctor did make conservative attempts to manage it. It ended up going on to surgery. I think it ended up going on to another procedure and follow-up, as the type of procedure may not have worked as well as desired. The patient was upset that she had multiple procedures done on that foot and it wasn't done right the first time. That's my interpretation. But, you know, it's documented the patient had appropriate procedures done and developed a complication. I think it was handled appropriately. It's also interesting to note that the patient had a complication initially, but still wanted to have her other foot done. And I think that's contrary to common sense that if she was so unhappy with the first one, why did she have the second one done so quickly? And including an ankle procedure and a tailor's bunion procedure. So, based on the report, postoperative findings, I think everything was met the standard of care. Patient had a complication. It happens. I think it was addressed. It wasn't ignored. I don't think that the complication is a direct fault of the doctor. I think it was handled appropriately. There is some vague comment in the patient's initial complaint about some nerve damage. I could not clarify this too well. There's no further documentation, not just problems. The doctor doesn't document complications or any problems in his notes. And it's going through the chart, the patient had a history of lower back pain to begin with, was on gabapentin for disc injuries. So I don't think that's the doctor's complication. And I mentioned just the charting and financial things to look at.
It's clear that the patient had
how it's embarrassed. There are some pictures here. I imagine you guys saw them. That's it.
I have one question. When I was looking at the x-rays and everything, I was trying to determine if maybe it was the metatarsal head stake, but I don't think so because the sesamoids were in good position. So, it's kind of, and I think she walked on it too much.
I mean,
and that could have been part of the issue as to why it developed. And
it happens.
Yeah.
I don't think it's the doctor's fault. I think the procedure itself looked good.
Yeah.
The initial post-op x-rays, that the first toe is straight.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a little peeking in the sesamoid, but that's fairly commonplace.
Yeah.
Dr. Saunders? I don't have any questions.
Dr. Ilana, do you have any questions for Dr. Saunders?
No, I have no questions for Dr. Saunders. Thank you, Dr. Saunders.
Thank you. All righty. So, Mr. Crawford.
Oh, good morning.
How are you?
Doctor, just briefly, I'm not going to dwell on things. Dr. Saraf is here to respond to whatever questions you have. Hopefully, we've gotten all of the medical records and billings to the board, and the consents we provided, the office consents, the surgical consents, obviously, are at the facility. The x-rays, we provided copies. I do have a flash drive here, so if any of the board members want to look at those, I'm happy to give it to you, and you can look at those. But on the table, the surgery looked good. In terms of the medical records, they may not be perfect, but they're pretty good medical records in the overall scheme of things. So, you know, it's, as Dr. Saunders said, it's a situation where it, surgery looked good on the table. There were some issues afterwards. It didn't, some things developed, and the doctor appropriately addressed them. So other than that, I'm not going to sit here and just rehash things for you. Dr. Saraf is here, and he's willing and able to respond to any questions that you have.
Dr. Saraf.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're welcome.
I don't really necessarily have any extra comments, but if you have specific questions, I could answer them for you.
Okay. Now, can you make a comment when Dr. Saunders was indicating about issues with the documentation, with like nothing, you know, absence of ultrasound images, the documentation regarding orthotics that were done in 2019, or the delay in signing of the medical records?
Right. So, looking back, actually, when we got the report back from Dr. Saunders, I looked at it, of course, and I read it, and I went back to my billers, and the billing of it, it was done, whatever I did, it was really what happened. But what happened was the documentation of the, let's say, the ultrasound report, like the copy of it, wasn't in the chart, and so our billers actually preemptively contacted Ambetter at the time and basically told them, and they took back the money because we just, you know, obviously, if we don't have documentation, we shouldn't have billed it. So that was taken care of on our end. I obviously, we didn't let you guys know about it until, I didn't know about it until recently myself. As far as the medical records go, the charting is kind of erratic. So some, you know, a lot of times I like to like lock my notes as I do them, and sometimes I get really bogged down and busy and just move on from patient to patient. As they were asking for these records, we noticed that a couple of them were not locked technically. But the nice thing about our system is that it tracks everything. So if there's anything changed, they would know when it was changed. So it was just as it was printed, the dates went along with it, actually. So, and then the orthotics, yes, so I made orthotics when we first saw each other soon after, and then she wanted a new pair for different shoes. Those were dispensed, but I think in this situation, our medical assistants, usually we get a signed, like a DME form we have. They sign it saying, hey, we received it, because patients will call and say, I never got it. They're like, hey, you know, this is your signature. So we have that on file, actually, so that she did receive a second pair.
The only question I had were the medical records, which...
Dr. Lano?
No, I'm just going to ask for the understanding of the work for treating the patient. I'm glad you recognize there was a problem with billing and correcting it.
Yes,
I think Dr. Jarrett performed his duty properly.
Thanks. So, I think, again, we all were in agreement that there was no violation of standard of care, and I think we've appropriately addressed the issues with documentation, but I just think as far as, you know, a caveat to always make sure and double check with your billing company and everybody that your staff is appropriately documenting things and stuff. So particularly when you just said about that orthotic, I think that we were talking about in February of 19 was a second pair. So that just, you know, those, I know those little details sometimes get missed, but sometimes they're important, especially when we're reviewing records. So I don't think that we need to issue any letters of concern or anything. Just
I agree.
A caveat to just making sure that you're the captain of the ship and make sure your records are up to snuff. And I do agree with you, Mr. Crawford. These are better records than some we see. So, so I'm going to go ahead and make a motion to dismiss case 23-03-C, single violation of state statutes.
Seconded.
Thank you. Any other discussion? Thank you. Any other discussion? All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Opposed? The motion carries. Thank you.
All right. Nice to see you all. Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
All righty. Do you want to? It's to Dr. Holland.
Hi, this is Heather Bottis in the board office. I'm wondering if Dr. Kravitz has joined the call.
Yes, I will.
Ah! Thank you, Dr. Saunders.
Thank you,
Dr. Kravitz.
Wonderful, then.
I believe everybody can hear you just fine. Thank you.
All right. So we have Dr. We're going to move on to our next case, which is 23-04-C, Dr. Alan Kravitz, who is present telephonically, and Dr. Farahani is the investigator. So we're going to go ahead and hear from Dr. Farahani.
Good morning, everybody. This is regarding complaint number 23-04-C, licensee Dr. Kravitz. My name is Dr. Farahani, and the date of this was done on July 1st of 2023. Here's a summary of allegations or complaint information. AL, which is the spouse, writes on behalf of a deceased patient. LL, the complaint is as follows. I'm writing this on behalf of my deceased husband. About 6 months ago, I received insurance bill from my husband's foot surgery. He had fallen in our pantry and broken his foot in 5 places, requiring surgery in 3 pins to repair it. I discovered that the surgery had been coded as an elective surgery. Granted, we had gone to Blythe, California. Emergency room only to be turned away and told he had to find our own surgeon as they did not have one. It took a few weeks to get in to see Dr. Alan B. Kravitz and a few more weeks for the swelling to go down enough for the surgery to be performed. I spent hours and hours on the phone trying to get decoded as emergency versus an elective. At first, the office gals were sending me to billing, and billing would send me back to them. Then I was connected with Martha in Dr. Kravitz's office. She said she would check into it and get back to me. She did not. I called for 4 weeks, leaving her messages, which were never returned. When I did finally get through to her, she said, "This hasn't been taken care of." I replied, "Have you called me back?" She told me she would get with the managers and get back with me that afternoon. She did not. During this time, my husband had been to see Dr. Kravitz, and he said it was a mistake and he would take care of it. He did not. More time went by as I continued to call Margaret. I called so many times that the front desk was sending me directly to a voicemail. I had to block my number just to get through. The third time I was able to speak with Margaret, she told me that it was facility had coded it incorrectly and that Dr. Kravitz had coded it as an emergency. She tried to give Billings' phone number and I demanded that she get whomever I needed to speak to with him on the line. I think I spoke with Amanda Kelly. She tried sending it through again, but it was denied due to no bone sticking out of the foot and that Dr. Kravitz had to be the one to recode it. My husband saw Dr. Kravitz again for a checkup and he stated he would get it fixed. He did not. I was then told by Amanda Kelly from Billing that he refused to recode it and that he had not coded as an emergency in the first place. After more weeks of calling the office and getting out of nowhere, asking for the doctor to call us to recode it and to do what he stated he would, we finally asked for a virtual appointment, which we scheduled for 3 weeks later. The day came and then, and without a call, I called the office and they told me that he does not make virtual calls. I tried making an appointment to get him to call us, and I did not need to see talk to him. The girls at the office, being the pain in their the bureau ended up making us an office appointment, as that was the only thing they were willing to do, meaning another few more weeks we're waiting. My husband passed away on Saturday before the appointment. You would think it was no big deal to go to the office and see a doctor. And she says that we live an hour and a half away from Yuma, so 3 hours of driving to get him to fix what he said he would be fixing, to say at least annoying. We were getting our snowbird house set up and planning on going back to Idaho, where we had been paying Blue Cross of Idaho insurance for 25 years. We had an $1,800 a month premium. If this had been coded correctly, our insurance should have picked it up. Please make him fix this, fire Margaret, and replace this front Tisco. Licensee's written response. I'm not going to have this redundant. You guys have Dr. Kravitz's response. Our review of the medical records on 6/4/2022, there was a surgical intervention. The patient had diagnosis of multiple metatarsal fracture with dislocation, tarsometatarsal joint 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of the right foot. There was Charcot neuropathic arthropathy. The surgical procedure was listed as arthrodesis of the multiple joints, right foot, open repair, tarsometatarsal fracture, dislocation, right foot. The financials that I reviewed, the diagnosis code was S92901A, CPT code of 28485 times 5, and a 28730. This is my conclusion as an investigator. Again, this is my only opinion and based on the facts that I reviewed these records. I reviewed the entire medical records. I had a difficult time wrapping my head around as to any wrongdoing encountered by Dr. Kravitz in relation to this patient. In my review of the bill, it appears that Dr. Kravitz billed the appropriate CPT and diagnosis code pertaining to the traumatic event. It appears that any issues pertaining to the denial should have been brought up to the actual medical center. I don't see any wrongdoing whatsoever, and I believe that claim of erroneous billing is not justified as it is brought by the late patient's spouse. I was never asked to, as Dr. Kravitz says, he was never asked to change any coding, nor he believes that he was contacted by any billing or accounts personnel for this patient. And he went on to say that he never received any denial letters that provided to him. And as a hospital-employed physician, we are not at liberty to review insurance coverage, plan restriction, and limitation. I think Dr. Kravitz's medical decision-making was based on medical necessity, which was done appropriately from my view. There are dedicated personnel for prior authorization to inform patient about their financial responsibilities. The insurance information, billing statement, denial letters, etc. are not available to accessible to the physician that would just walk into a hospital and request them. I don't see any particular statements of denials as set forth by the complaint spouse. And AL continues to refer, we have a $1,800 a month premium. If this had been coded correctly, our insurance should have picked it up. However, there's really no descriptive issue at hand other than mere request to correct billing. I'm not able to appreciate what needs to be billed correctly. What is the definition of correct billing? I can't conclude any wrongdoing in the reviewing of this records. And had this patient been seen by myself in this particular scenario under circumstance, I would have billed the designated CPD and ICD-10 as it was designated by Dr. Kravitz in this circumstance. Rebilling the set procedure to patient and their families to their liking, I think, is a moot point. Lastly, I don't believe this complaint questions the plan procedure itself. However, in review of post-op X-rays, the surgical intervention appears to have been in alignment, appropriate hardware was utilized, and there's no mention of post-op complication or any issues pertaining to the procedure itself. I find this allegation to be unsubstantiated.
Thank you, Dr. Farahani, very complete. My opinion is the same. I think, you know, Dr. Kravitz sure had a difficult situation to deal with from the surgical aspect and was quite appropriate in his care of the patient. And this is just an issue that the doctor really has no control over with insurance. It's not his bailiwick. So, Dr. Foreman?
Some of the billing records, it looks like it went to deductible.
Okay.
Some of the billing records, so I don't know what the plan shows with that, but I don't see any wrongdoing.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's this unfortunate thing, but it's just, you know, that's why I always say in everything that I review, some patients got to take do some due diligence on their own. I mean, it's like collecting a billing. I mean, I don't know, you probably have a lot more experience than Dr. Campbell. I don't know billing an emergency versus, like, I have never heard of that.
Right, you know, I was thinking about that, you know, because you're thinking, okay, if there was no evidence of vascular embarrassment, and the patient had fractured blisters, you're not going to do surgery in somebody who has fractured blisters.
I have no idea.
You're going to wait. And so...
And if Dr. Kravitz would have done, and this is another thing, if Dr. Kravitz would have done exactly what the patient had requested, then he would be in hot water, and then he would be sitting here saying, why did you do it? So the doctors a lot of times have a double-edged sword. Mm-hmm. They want to try to help people, but then again, you don't want to be burned either, because this is their livelihood. This is Dr. Kravitz, and that's what I have a problem with. People file complaints without knowing that this could affect their life, their families, their kids, and so forth and so on. So...
Yeah. Dr. Ilano, did you have any questions for Dr. Farahani?
Yes, condolences to the victims of family. I see Dr. Carney acting right and appropriate. I have no issues with
this. Okay.
Can I make a motion to dismiss complaint number 2304C with no violations of state statutes?
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Lana. Is there any other discussion on the motion? It has been moved and seconded to dismiss complaint 23-04-C. Is there any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Thanks, Dr. Farahani.
Right up the
profile.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Kravitz.
Thank you very much. Have a good day, everybody.
You too. All right. Our next is, okay, we have the two cases are actually they're the same office and doctors. We have case 23-05-C, Angela Zhang, and the other case is 23-06-C, Dr. Michael Hamm. Dr. Polakoff is the investigator on both complaints. May I have Dr. Polakoff do them together, Seamus? Or do we have to take them separate?
Same complaint, but different doctors.
In the same practice.
Because they're different doctors, there's going to be overlap, but I would do them separate.
Okay, so.
Good morning, board. How is everybody?
Fine.
Good. This is case number 2306C. Michael Hamm and the patient CH initiated a complaint against Dr. Hamm for concerns of mistreatment of a right ankle pain. The patient presented to Dr. Hamm one visit and stated that a right ankle and foot is hurting. The doctor diagnosed her with posterior tibial tendon dysfunction and discussed with her possible treatments of an MRI, use of steroids, orthotics eventually, but he started his treatment with x-rays, and after the x-rays he treated her with a cam walker and a dose of steroids to decrease the inflammation and allow her some comfort. The patient did have x-rays which showed typical posterior tibial tendon dysfunction where the midfoot is lowering, more pronation on the right than the left. The patient is 67 inches tall, 230 pounds at the initial visit, and he diagnoses as a progressive injury. The doctors did inform the patient that if after 3 weeks of wearing the cam walker, if he did not feel relief, then he would go in and perform other diagnostic tests, such as an MRI. Unfortunately, the patient did return to see another doctor in his practice and was not happy with the entire treatment from Dr. Hamm and from the second doctor, and did seek care with Dr. Nathan Jefferson, who did an ultrasound in his office and diagnosed her with a tendon rupture, partial rupture, or tear. She was treated for that, but she is very disturbed as to why Dr. Hamm did not do an ultrasound in his office, such as Dr. Jefferson did, which helped diagnose the tear as opposed to the tendonitis. I did review this, and I found that the doctor did the appropriate treatment of the x-rays. He gave her steroids to decrease inflammation. He gave her a cam walker to immobilize the foot. And if the patient still had symptoms after that, he was going to do more advanced radiographic techniques, get her into custom orthotics, and to get her into proper treatment for a collapsing midfoot. The doctor was also concerned that the patient was seen in November and it was close to the end of her insurance year. He did not want her to have the financial burden of the custom orthotics until the following year, and was considerate enough to discuss this with the patient. I found that there was no violation of state statutes. Every doctor treats posterior tibial tendon dysfunction differently. If the patient came in and stated that she had trauma, she had swelling, she did have some swelling, but it wasn't excessive, there was no bruising, there was no exact pinpoint tenderness, general tenderness, then he stated that he would have performed more and rapid diagnostic testing. But because of her history of no trauma and the visible appearance of the foot, he thought that his diagnosis was correct and his treatment plan was correct. I did agree with this. I found no violation of state statutes.
Thank you, Dr. I have no questions. Do you have any questions,
Dr.
Foreman? Dr. Ilana, do you have any questions for Dr. Polakoff?
No questions for Dr. Polakoff.
Okay. Well, I think we all have read the records and see that it appears everyone is in agreement with the investigation by Dr. Polakoff. So I'll go ahead and make a motion at this time to dismiss complaint number, this is Dr. Hamm, which is 23-06-C.
Seconded.
It has been moved and seconded to dismiss case 23-06-C, seeing there are no violations of state statutes. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion carries. Okay.
Good morning, Board. Dr. Polakoff on case number 23-05C, Angela Zhang. Dr. Zhang saw patient CH 3 weeks after she was diagnosed with posterior tibial tendon dysfunction and was placed in a cam walker and was given steroids to decrease the midfoot and ankle inflammation and discomfort. The patient was reviewed by Dr. Zhang, and she again stated that she had no trauma to initiate this pain. And Dr. Zhang evaluated her, discussed with her thoroughly the procedure of a first immobilization, decrease the inflammation, which will better allow her to figure out where her pain is coming from. Then at that point, if the pain is still present, do more diagnostic testing. She discussed with her getting orthotics in January. She also discussed with her use of a gauntlet brace that might hold her more firmly and be more comfortable than a cam walker. Such a brace was dispensed to her. The patient was advised that her foot is progressively falling and that the support and custom orthotics in the future would be a good idea. Unfortunately, the patient was not happy with this diagnosis and went to see Dr. Nathan Jefferson, who did an ultrasound in the office and diagnosed her with a tear of the posterior tibial tendon, which was the cause of her discomfort, according to Dr. Jefferson. The patient filed a complaint stating that she was very unhappy that she had to find a third doctor who would do a diagnostic test in the office. Dr. Zhang wrote that in her office, they do not have this form of ultrasound to diagnose the posterior tibial tendon, and that if she thought that this case was an actual tear, that she would have instantly ordered the MRI instead of waiting. I found no violations of state statutes in this case, and I found that her treatment was appropriate. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Polkoff. I do not have any questions. Do you have any?
No, one thing that I would say is that some insurances don't allow us to do an MRI immediately. They would want to do conservative therapy anyway, so having her in the boot was the correct decision, in my opinion.
Dr.
Milano?
No questions for Dr. Polkoff.
All righty. I'll go ahead and make a motion to dismiss case 23-05-C, Angela Zhang, saying that there are no violation of state statutes.
Second.
It has been moved and seconded to dismiss case 23-05-C, saying no violation of state statutes. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, we're just going to take a 5-minute break as per request of our AG. All right, turn on. Wait a minute. All right, so let's go back to number 4, which is our general session minutes from July the 12th. Anybody have any additions or corrections to those minutes? Already hearing none, I will go ahead and make a motion to accept our general session meeting minutes from July the 12th, 2023, as written.
Second.
Thank you, Dr. Furman. It's been moved and seconded to accept our general session minutes from 7/12/2023. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. All righty. Let's move on to back to number 5, subheading B, which is the issuance of our licenses. We have 5 license applications here. First one is Anthony Borgia. Looks like everything is complete. This is an application to licensure via comedy. Any questions or concerns? Hearing none, I'll make a motion to accept Dr. Bourgeois' application for licensure via comedy as it's complete, fees are paid, and to issue the license upon payment of the issuance fee.
Seconded.
Thank you, Dr. Foreman. It's been moved and seconded to accept Dr. Anthony Bourgeois' application for licensure. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Our next applicant is Catherine Hagman. This is a complete application. Let's see here. She did practice in Wisconsin for 5 years. Did she consider that a comedy of her? I'm trying to remember. Yes. Yeah, it is. Okay. So, yeah. Yeah, it is. Okay. So hearing no discussion, I'll make a motion to accept Dr. Hagman's application for licensure via comedy. Everything is complete, fees are paid, and to issue the license upon payment of the issuance fee.
Second.
Then moved and seconded to accept Dr. Catherine Hagman's application for licensure via comedy. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So moved. Motion carries. Our third candidate here is Amanda Killian. This is application via license, via regular licensure. Everything is in place here. Is there any questions or concerns? Hearing none, I would make a motion to accept a regular license application from Dr. Amanda Keelan and issue this upon payment of the issuance fee.
Second.
It is being moved and seconded to accept the application for regular licensure for Dr. Amanda Keelan. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Our fourth is Kyle Schwimperoth. This is hopefully I did not butcher the name. This is an application for regular licensure, just completed residency June the 30th of this year. Everything is complete here. Is there anyone have any questions or concerns? Hearing none, then I'll make a motion to accept the application for regular licensure from Dr. Schwarkerath. As it's complete, payments have been made and to issue upon payment of the issuance fee.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to accept the initial application for regular licensure from Dr. Schwarkerath. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. And our final application is Rabina Sharma. Just finished residency on June 30th of this year. Are there any questions or concerns? Hearing none, I will make a motion to accept Dr. Sharma's application for initial licensure as it's complete and fees are paid, and to issue the license upon payment of the license issuance fee.
Second.
I think it's been moved and seconded to accept Dr. Ravina Sharma's application for licensure. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Alrighty. Our next subheading C is renewal application for licensure and dispensing for Dr. Joshua Marvin. And on his application, renewal application, he noted that he had been entered into a consent agreement in the state of Iowa where he had practiced and that the clinic had closed due to it was insolvent and no issues regarding patient care. He agreed that he would not practice in Iowa, but he could work for someone in Iowa. He couldn't own a practice, I guess. Anyway, he took some courses on business ethics and was waiting the approval of the state or Iowa podiatry board there. And his license was restored to full privileges in a deal of restrictions. What's that?
This is AG Seamus Monahan. I was just noting on there that the order stated that it was terminated. And so I didn't know if that meant that he could then own a practice or not. I don't think for our purposes it's that relevant. It was just something I was wondering.
So basically, this issue is not within our jurisdiction since it's been taken care of by the board there in Iowa. Does anyone have any other questions for Seamus or Heather on this application?
No.
Dr. Ilana, do you have any questions?
No.
Okay. All right. So hearing we've gone through this, let's say I'm going to go ahead and make a motion to accept Dr. Madeline's renewal application.
Seconded.
It has been moved and seconded to accept the renewal application for Dr. Joshua Madeline. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The motion carries. All right. Our next is D, which is a request for a waiver of continuing education from Dr. Cameron McKay. Dr. McKay is teaching at a medical school in China. And he has been there for quite a while, so this is a yearly request from him. Does anyone have any questions or concerns on this request? He fits the category or criteria for CME waiver because he is out of the continental United States. Hearing none, I will go ahead and make a motion to grant a CME waiver due to Dr. Cameron's status of living outside the United States.
Seconded.
Thank you. It's been moved and seconded to accept or to grant Dr. McKay the CME waiver. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Motion carries. All right. I'm going to take a drink real quick. I'm following all your guidelines closely, Seamus. I can be taught. All right. The next category here is number six. This is a review, discussion, and action on update of the Zoom meeting that was held July the 14th for member boards of the Federation of Podiatric Medical Boards. Heather and I were both in attendance, and Heather forwarded to everyone an email yesterday that Russ Stoner, the executive director of the Federation Board, sent out that gave a nice outline of what transpired at the meeting, and I was just going to give just a quick synopsis here of what transpired. Just a second here. So the meeting was like a couple, 2.5 hours, I think. And it was very well attended and really good conversations. The first section was about the Interstate Licensing Compact and what that is. It's a mechanism to try for doctors to be licensed across multiple states. And it's particularly, popular with doctors in the East because of the proximity of the states, and the states are smaller. Anyway, you have to have the legislation to get this kind of stuff to pass. And what this compact does is also has higher standards for physicians who participate in it, so as a means to make sure that the public is protected. Next category was the DEA MATE Act about expansion of training with the opioid training. Then the third was the discussion with the American Podiatric Medical Licensing Examinations with the National Board of Podiatric Medical Examiners, particularly about the CSPE Part 2 exam. It's still in investigation phase as to how this examination is going to be continued, but right now it looks like it's going to be occurring at the schools. The National Board of Osteopathic Medicine, who the NBPMA works with in regards to this, they're doing pilot studies at four different DO schools, one of which is here at Midwestern. Anyway, at this point in time, the doctors there at Midwestern or the other osteopathic medical colleges that are participating do what's called an ASCT. They attest to the skills or the competency of the students. They're still working on, you know, developing if it's going to be, you know, a hybrid test, if there's going to be, you know, a direct patient contact testing with standardized patients and or combination with virtual. Same thing's going on, too, with the Federation of State Medical Boards. They're trying to develop new testings. Anyway, and also the testing service is changing from what Prometric, the new testing service company, is called Measure Learning. They're right now, it's gonna overlap for like a year's time as far as converting to this new company. Another discussion occurred about the Assembly Bill in California 826 that modernized the applications, reapplications, renewals for doctors, podiatrists in California. They were being held to a much higher standard than the MDs, and in regards to parity, that they were able to remove some things that were just like out of date and strict against podiatrists. So that legislation was passed and signed by Governor Newsom over there. And the last part was the major portion of the meeting, which was the member-to-member discussion, which I said was quite robust. People from, can't remember how many were in attendance. It was over 30, anyway. So the main topics of discussion were getting and retaining public board members, keeping current board members active, and then we discussed about the different meeting formats that people were using, total live meetings, virtuals, or combo live and virtual meetings. There was discussion regarding licensure regulation and occupational licensing reform. A lot of good shared information between the member boards. So, Heather, do you have anything to add that you think is particularly pertinent to bring up?
I think you covered everything, Dr. Campbell. The discussion I got the most out of was the compact. That was interesting.
And you guys should know, Heather is one of the biggest participants in these meetings. Everybody always says, boy, we could ask Heather questions. Which is just kudos to appreciate Heather's participation. All right. So I'm not sure when the next one's going to be, but we have members in the Virgin. We have their associates in the Virgin Islands. They're a board member. We have an associate membership with those in British Columbia, and boy, they participate, which is really nice to see that the forum groups are just as involved. Anyway, do we move on? I just have the executive director's report.
Thank you, Dr. Campbell, board members. I don't have much today. I do have an update on the renewals. The renewals are slowing down to date. I've processed 441. We've had 10 licensees indicate that they will be retiring, and I still have about 27 licensees that have not submitted a renewal. I have until August 31st to submit a renewal. I do have an update on the legislature. The legislature did adjourn at about 5 o'clock on July 31st, so the general effective date of bills will be October 30th. And then I can answer any questions on the budget or the complaint log. No new complaints have been added since I sent board materials. That's my summary.
Okay. So, summary of current events. We don't have anything for that category. And next would be call to the public. We have no public here to call. All right, and next is 10. Any possible action items for future meeting agendas? Since Seamus is done with our education, we'll start that up again in the new year, right? Do it all, which is good. We all need good reminders. And if you guys notice, too, in your packets, Heather included the memo for our information regarding it's from Seamus's office, but it's about peer review reports and different things that we should be aware of. Keep us in line. Okay. That's right. So again, as always, if there's anything you'd like to discuss.
Second it.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Motion passes.
Thank you.